And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and the show is for the week of June 8th, 2022. Today, I just wanted to talk briefly about gas prices because they're all the rage nowadays. Or rage is a related word, I suppose, but gas prices in the United States are high. It's in all the news. People talk about it as an inflationary pressure and kind of the end of the world. So I thought it was useful to think briefly about why, what drives gas prices, right? Why they are tend to be where they are, and provide some sort of a framework to think about when you hear breathless reports of higher and higher gas prices. I think an important thing to understand about the fossil fuel industry generally, but it relates to gas prices in particular, is that the United States is part of a global market, right? There's just no getting around that. And all the talk about energy independence in the United States is fine, but you have to understand that the global fossil fuel system depends on refining capacity, right? Can you take the stuff that comes out of the ground and convert it to gasoline? So there's this capacity issue, which is typically big factories, right? Refineries. Turns out that on a global basis, right, all the refineries in the world, most of the time, are pretty much operating at full capacity. Right? That is to say, they are making every bit of fossil fuel that they can, right? Making money for the industry. And they're all doing the most they can. There's no refineries, or not very many refineries sitting around idle that could be turned on. Right? And so you can put, I don't have exact percentages, but let's say that the capacity market, the capacity of the world to produce fossil fuels is operating at 99% of what it can do, right? That means that any disruption that comes along, is no matter where it is, it's going to screw up the whole system because the whole system is busy turning, you know, Brent crude into gasoline and natural gas into plastic precursors and all, you know, everything's going on at once. Lots of refineries out there, they're all going full bore, they cannot switch to something new very easily, and they cannot be built in a few minutes, right? It's like you have the capacity, and you got the capacity you got when it's fully employed. Any disruption has a price impact. I mean, we've talked in the past about how the Gulf of Aqaba, where Iran brings gas out, a little choke point there, if that got screwed up, prices would skyrocket around the world because everything's linked together. Well, recently, I don't know if you've noticed, but the last 2 years has been a COVID pandemic, right? And that has dramatically mismatched the demand and the supply, right? And now as we come into the summer of 2022, more people are driving around, more people feel a little better. Demand is rising. Capacity's not there. They can't produce gasoline fast enough to keep up with it. At the same time, maybe you've noticed over in Europe, there is a war in Ukraine where Vladimir Putin, who is essentially a petro-dictator, is threatening to cut off fuel supplies, things like that, right? And the European Union is saying, we're going to stop taking fossil fuels. Putin may cut it off. What happens is that because the capacity, the fossil fuel market is so at its limit, a lot of money goes into buying what are called futures. That is to say, you know, Exxon will pay extra money for the right to buy a tanker of gasoline in 3 months. All right, so some tanker sets off from Saudi Arabia, going to drive to Houston. Exxon can say, well, in 3 months, I'll be willing to pay $102 for that gasoline. So there's this other, and that once that money is committed, the price is committed, and people are worried about what's going to happen downstream. So the big gas producers are hedging their bets by paying a little bit more money because they think there's going to be continuing demand for their product, and it jacks up all the prices. Additionally, on top of that, because the oil majors know that the market is at capacity and there's no new gasoline coming on anytime soon, they can essentially jack up their profits. And I'm sure you've seen various reports that Exxon and Shell, and I say Exxon is sort of this proxy for all of them, right? The oil majors are having fantastically profitable years. Why is that? Because they're making a whole lot of money by raising gas prices in the anticipation that the gas prices are going to stay high. It's kind of a cycle there. But I mean, Exxon making record profits by raising gas prices, that's a whole political problem by itself, but it's not, you know. So you have some things that are going on to drive gasoline prices up. Here in Massachusetts, I paid $5 a gallon the other day, right? And of course, there's a political price for this kind of thing, right? Certain people in the media will try to beat the snot out of Joe Biden over it, even though Joe Biden really can't control the world capacity for producing fossil fuels, right? It's not there. And he can't tell people to do things differently. He has tried to release fuel from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, right? Which as a climate hawk, you can be upset about. But that's about the extent of what he can do in terms of a few days to a few weeks and bring gas prices down before the 4th of July, right? It's their prices are up, and they're up for fundamental market reasons and not something that is easy to change if you're Joe Biden, right? Of course, from a climate perspective, you would think that high gas prices are a good thing, right? That's what we've all, carbon tax, reduction in fuel use, et cetera, et cetera. So at some level, high gas prices are something that, from a climate perspective, you want. Although I would submit that the current circumstance where it's being used as a political hammer to sort of attack Biden in the Green New Deal, the woke renewable energy agenda, right? That's the reason the gas prices are up is not a good reason, and it would be better if that those high prices were through some sort of a fee and rebate where the money was going back to people, some more defensible thing politically about why gas prices are high. As it stands right now, Joe Biden is taking the heat for the rise in gas prices, which of course are also then driving inflation, yada, yada, yada. But he doesn't have a lot that he can do about it. So what is possible from a climate perspective? You know, how do you address this kind of thing? Well, the big issue is that the capacity, you know, in terms of gasoline prices, the capacity doesn't match the demand, right? And what you have to do is reduce the demand, which is why all the talk about electric vehicles and heat pumps and that kind of stuff would, in the long term, of course, none of it's going to happen quickly, right? The renewable energies or building new refineries will take years. But it is true that Joe Biden recently put out an executive order to utilize the Defense Production Act to manufacture renewable energy components, including heat pumps, which, of course, is what our friend Bill McKibben was calling for at the beginning of the Ukraine conflict, right, with the idea that if the United States mass-produced heat pumps and gave a heat pump to everyone in Ukraine or in Germany, right, you could go a long way to reducing the demand for Mr. Putin's natural gas. And in fact, if you like really went crazy, like beginning of World War II, you could make a lot of heat pumps, get them over, install them before next winter. So you could have a tangible impact in the course of a year in terms of, you know, you're not going to eliminate the use of natural gas, but you're going to reduce the pressure on the politics of, say, Germany by having less dependence on Putin's fossil fuels that come across the Baltic Sea. All right. So There you go. That's my take on the high gasoline prices. That is driven by market fundamental issues. It's not a bad policy choice by Joe Biden, and that Joe Biden has not a heck of a lot he can do about it, except in a long term where we reduce the demand by building more renewable energy, which he has taken upon himself to write a executive order allowing the Defense Production Act to be used to make renewable energy stuff. So that's good. Important point is, don't accept from someone you're in conversation with this idea that Joe Biden's making mistakes and it's all climate change people that are driving the gas prices. It's not true, right? If anything, the gas prices are being driven by the corporations that are making record profits. So that's my, there you go. That's it for the moment. We'll put up, we'll post this show in the usual places. I want to thank our friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. We want to say that the United States has to implement a fair and equitable plan to get us off fossil fuel by the year 2030. We have to do that. Sooner is better. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.